Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've been watching any football or any TV, you've seen all the commercials. They finally changed from all the political commercials now to all the holiday commercials. One commercial I saw was somewhat nostalgic. There's song playing Holiday Road, and it's a Coca-Cola commercial. I don't know if you saw this one, where there's several different people and they're trying to get home. The song is actually very popular from like the 80s and 90s, used in a lot of comedies, but the story reminded me a lot of a movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. If you've seen that before. When we grew up, most of the movies we saw were on TV, so they edited a lot of the things out. So, you know, this is the rating on this one's not super kid-friendly, but when we saw it, it was always kid-friendly on TV. But the story, if you remember Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and kind of what the commercial talks about, it has John Candy. Not John Candy as Gus Polanski, if you guys are Home Alone fans, that's where he's the Polka King of the Midwest, the Kenosha Kickers. He talks about how he's really famous in Sheboygan. But here, John Candy is playing a different character, Dell, and Steve Martin is Neil, and they are in New York, and they're trying to get to Chicago, but there's a snowstorm, things are delayed. And instead of going to Chicago, then they get to Kansas, and they run through all sorts of different things. And as the movie is called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, they have to take all these different means to get back to Chicago, but including a lot of chaos, including cars burning and all sorts of craziness. But why is that such a touching or interesting story? Is it's the holidays, right? What we're in right now between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and what do people love about the holidays but being together? See, some people here together that normally aren't together, it's all about often Thanksgiving of being together or Christmas. We know Christmas is more what we'll talk about, but a lot of it is about being together, a longing to be together, and what people do to be together, and why they want to be together, and why the holidays kind of allow that to happen. What's kind of fascinating is the text that we see today is Paul's really writing about that. That there's a longing to be together in the Lord. That there's something that's been keeping them apart, but that Paul just wishes they were together, but he gets to write and share and encourage them in the meantime. But as we look about a longing to be together, I think there's a lot that we can learn about that for just our lives now and Advent and what it means to be Christians about longing to be together, but also a longing to be together in the Lord, especially when he returns. That's really what this first week of Advent is about, a longing to be with Jesus, who is going to come back. But notice what he talks about to begin with. He says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." Notice he says we're praying. We pray night and day that we may see you again. Why would he say that? Does it matter if you're together in person? I'd argue that being together matters. Would you say that's true? Did we learn that in the last 4 or 5 years? That being together matters? That when you can't be together, when there's this separation, when people just can't be together, when you want to be together, there's something missing. We saw that with families. I think we saw that with the church. But does being together matter? It's not the same, right, as a phone call or a video call. Now, video calls are awesome. When I lived in China, it was amazing how our kids could see their grandparents, and you could talk and see each other, but it's not the same. We were at a conference in Green Bay about worship, and the presenter was talking about how online worship, this hybrid church, can be really good and can fulfill all the purposes. He wasn't a Wells presenter, but missing the sacraments part. But one of the Wells pastors, he stood up and he said, "I love video chatting with my grandkids, but nothing beats hugging them. Nothing beats being there in person and spending time together." And that's what Paul is saying. There's something about being together to encourage each other. Well, why does he need to encourage them? It says here that something is lacking in their faith. Well, we don't know exactly what that is. And you might say, they must have some big issues. Well, in fact, the rest of the letter, he's really praising them. There's not a lot wrong. They've got some questions and things, but notice he talks about that they want their love for the Lord to increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. It's good to look at the context to understand maybe what's lacking. Paul is writing the Thessalonians, and if you remember, Paul went to Thessalonica, but he didn't stay very long. Thessalonica, it sits overlooking Mount Olympus, and religion was part of its core fabric, but not the Christian religion. And so when Paul came to preach, he was not received well. He was kicked out, and the people wanted him as far away as possible. But yet there were Christians that developed a church there, and their faith grew, and Paul even sends Timothy there to strengthen them. But what is going on there is that they are being persecuted. They are in great suffering. Well, why is this? Because the devil causes separation. The devil was causing them to be apart, but also the devil was causing them to be separated from God in ways. I was struggling to find which word to put in here, because there's a couple things you could talk about what the devil does with separation. You could say the devil here causes separation, he drives separation, and he delights in separation. All these things the devil does. And he wants persecution, he wants you to be worried, he wants you to be afraid. He wants you to think that God isn't there, that he's very far away from you. That's what God wanted the Thessalonians to feel. And so Paul is wanting to encourage them, to fill them up, and to know that they're remaining strong and that the Lord is with them. The devil causes this separation, especially through things in the world, but there's another thing that the devil does to cause separation. You know what that is? Something we all struggle with. Sin. You could define sin as separation. Something that separates us and God, and it separates you from others. Because you could say, well, why is sin a really big deal? Does it really hurt anyone? Well, often, what is your sin doing? Often, your sin is hurting someone next to you. You're lying to them. You're not showing love to them. And you're causing separation between your relationship. You're hurting them. That's what sin does. And if it's not something between you and a person, do you know who it is between you and God? And that sin separates us. We are imperfect. We fall short all the time. And we, by nature, it says, by nature we stand condemned. We're separated from God. Our sinful hearts, our sinful nature does not desire the things of God. In fact, it is hostile to God. So what do we need? Notice what Paul writes to them. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. He encourages that we're to be found holy and blameless in the presence of God. Well, how does that happen? To think about that separation, well, how can I then be in the presence of God? The only way I can be in the presence of God is that Jesus brings us into the presence of God. That Jesus breaks down that separation. That when he died on the cross, what was torn in two? That curtain in the temple. And we read this recently in one of the books for Sunday night, how the temple was torn from top to bottom instead of from bottom to top. That this is the work of God in breaking that separation between man and God. We are full of sin and we do not deserve to be in the presence of God. I would say it's like we are oil and God is water. We are filled with iniquity and he is pure and perfect, but he says that we can be found blameless and holy. The only way we can do that is if Christ takes upon him our iniquity. That if Christ dies for us, if Christ removes that separation, that's what he's done. That's what he did as he came riding in on Palm Sunday. He knew his mission. He knew what he was to do. That though he came from heaven, he came to die the worst of deaths, to break down that separation for you and for me. This is the beauty of what Christ has done for us. We long to be together, and we can be together with God for eternity in the Lord. But what about until that day? We talk about it's better together. Have you ever had to wait for anything on your own? I did a lot of traveling. If you've ever had to fly on your own, is it fun there just sitting at the airport all by yourself? You get there early and you're waiting and waiting and then you fly and then you're waiting for this and waiting. What if you do that with one of your best friends or with your loved ones, your family? Maybe a little bit more chaotic, but it's a whole lot more fun to wait with someone else. Would you say it's true that waiting together is better? This is something that when I was single in China, and we always got to travel my last few years when I was still single, I said, I don't want to travel by myself. I really just want to travel with others. Because waiting together is better, isn't it? But what does that mean for you and for me in our Christian life? It's not just waiting, but it's really doing life together. To do life as Christians together. That no one should feel that they're alone. And that being together really matters. And so what does that look like? Like being here in worship. Being in Bible study. Gathering together in our small groups. meeting for coffee, calling up that friend, encouraging that friend that you haven't seen here in months to say, how are you doing? I haven't seen you together with us. It's important to do this Christian life together, that you are not alone. Following Jesus is certainly better when we follow him together. One of the best examples of this, kind of put into to reality, I had a meeting for the Chinese ministry that I'm involved with, and there was kind of a more serious thing going on, and law and gospel needed to be applied, but we're here in America, and there's this hard thing going on in China. And we have our administrative team, and we're talking and praying about this very difficult thing. And one of the men, retired pastor, with the heart of a pastor, some of you know Pastor Balza, just said, I wish I could be there. I wish I could look them in the eye and show the love of Jesus. I wish I could hug them. I wish I could say, you're forgiven. Because we can do that on the phone. We can talk about that, but to do that in person and to speak those words, life together, this is one of if you've seen videos or commercial for the Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this new movie about the German pastor who helped try to plan to assassinate Hitler. He said this about life together as Christians. He said, when I read the Bible and I read the words, you're forgiven, I read it all the time, but there's nothing like when someone else speaks those words to you. When I hear those words, Jesus loves you and you're forgiven, out of the mouth of another. Because it's to you. It's that spoken words of law and gospel. Sometimes we need someone to wake us up with the law, and sometimes we need someone to speak those tender words of gospel. But you're not alone. We're all waiting for Jesus to return. We're doing that together. And one more thing to remember about that. If waiting together is something kind of hard for you now, because maybe that person you care about isn't here, remember what we're waiting together for is to be united when Christ returns. To be united with those loved ones. That's what this is all about, of being together with the Lord. And so when we picture, when you see all the movies about traveling and being together, yes, it's such a blessing to be together with family, isn't it? It's such a blessing to rejoice in what it means to be together as a Christian family. So encourage one another to be here, to be in the Word. Encourage and strengthen each other, just as the Thessalonians were struggling with persecution and difficulties. They needed to be filled up in the Lord and shown that Jesus has fixed that separation to make them blameless and holy. Remember what this is all about. To be united. To be together with our Lord, with Him in eternity. And so don't hold back. Don't forget to reach out to those friends that aren't here. Know that it's important for us to be together, to share that love, that law and gospel, that Jesus is the one who makes us holy and blameless. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.